Welcome to Greg Way in the Car with me, Greg Miller. I'm doing it later in the drive today. Been listening to Talkville, Michael Rosenbaum, Tom Welling, talking about Smallville. They do a show where they're doing an in-review episode by episode, basically, of Smallville, if you didn't know. They got to a season 3 episode called Obsession, which left quite the mark on old Greggy, and it did on them too. So I've been listening to that of them sharing stories from the set and their thoughts on the episode. And yeah, great podcast. If you like Smallville, I can't recommend it enough. What I usually do is totally forget about it, and then when an episode comes around, I'm like, oh man, I love that episode. Pop in for that and give it an old listen. But I digress. We're not doing that. Instead, we're gonna answer some questions from you, the audience. As usual, not many of you using the Patreon comments. A lot of people using the Patreon chat on the Patreon app. I'm checking them all. I swear to God. Okay? I swear to God. Paul Smith, I'm not going to give you a vlog tour of my Halloween decorations, but I appreciate the question. Honestly, you see most in the photos I put up of like the inside of the house and how they're decorated. Riley wanted to know, basically, yo, what are your thoughts on and have you ever crossed paths with Pat McAfee? Of course, Pat McAfee, a well-known person in the world. I don't know if you know him. Former kicker for the NFL. Now, of course, now he's college football game day announcer. He was and still is very involved with WWE. He was an announcer for a while. Then he got the game day thing, so he went away. But he comes back, and it's always a big deal. And da 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 da. So, a couple different threads here because he was. I'd like to know Andy's opinion too. And so this could be a Kind of Funny podcast topic. We didn't put it into the Kind of Funny podcast. You put it into the Greg Way topic. So here you are, motherfucker. Yeah, I have crossed paths with Pat McAfee. Actually, if you remember when me and the gang did the Kind of Funny World Tour and went to New York, we went to WrestleMania. And when we went to WrestleMania, I got brought backstage and was put on their watch-along stream, which was hosted by Pat McAfee. And so I walked in and really didn't know who Pat McAfee was. He wasn't like... He was probably a big deal, probably a bigger deal than I am. I think he already had a show, like a sports talk show, whatever. But he wasn't doing a lot with WWE. I think he was doing these watch-alongs. And so, like, I came back there and met him and hung out and did, you know, I did the Kofi match, which might have been Kofi Mania. Is that right? Anyways, I was back there. Yeah, I think it was Kofi Mania. Shit, fuck, did I do the watch-along to Kofi Mania? Anyways. Watch match back there. It was really funny. Hung out with him, talked to him. We liked each other a lot. We followed each other on Twitter. We exchanged the random DM here and there. Usually, you know, I was like, you gotta come on the show. He's like, I'd love to. And then that just never goes anywhere. That happens with a million people. And I'm sure it's just when you're that level of celebrity is probably what everybody says. Just like The Rock. I'd love to come on the Game Over Greggy Show podcast. Never gonna fucking happen. Too goddamn busy. But he was great back there, and he's always been great there, and I love seeing him on WWE. Like, when he comes back, I love that that's a moment, right? Like, I've been there at Rumble when he came out and got announced, and, like, everybody popped and went crazy. And I don't know what Andy thinks of him, because fuck Andy, but Tim loves him. Tim is, like, obsessed with Pat McAfee. He's, like, especially in the WWE context of, like, Pat McAfee, like, living Tim's dream, right? Then we had a question from the one, the only Cameron Kennedy, who you know well. Cameron said, hey Greg, I'm at that age where a lot of my friends are starting to have babies. What did you appreciate and not appreciate? And like, what advice do you have for giving gifts and stuff? Because obviously, I think, here's what I'll say, Cameron Kennedy. Poe, my best friend, as you know, beat me to having kids by what? 8 years, 9 years? And as soon as I had Ben, it changed my perception of all the things I should have been doing for Poe. And so this is good advice for anybody, right? But if you have a friend who has a child, and even if you're long distance like I am, put the child's fucking birthday on your calendar and just drop the dad and mom a text. Be like, hey, happy birthday to your kid. You know what I mean? Like, oh, congratulations to you guys, blah, blah, blah. Like, it wasn't until I had Ben and people started doing it for me, really, I was like, oh, shit, this is a fucking thing. I should have been more like, blah, blah, blah. And then gifts are the same way. Most people have a registry for when they're having a baby, right? I would go off the registry. Don't go off book. A lot of people go off book, get a gift or a book that means something to them, and da-da-da-da. That can be cool, I think, depending on how close you are to the family. But if you're not that close to them, it just becomes a thing, right? If you're in that camp where you're like, I don't want to give something like a diaper, even though I assure you diapers are needed, burp cloths are fucking needed, all these different things. You don't want to do that. Do a DoorDash gift card. That was another big thing. You know, we moved, during pandemic. we moved to an area that had a lot more families. And when Ben was born, all of our neighbors kind of just did like a 2-week meal train for us. Because, like, and it's something me and Jen really didn't think about. Like, I think it had been mentioned maybe in a couple birthing classes or, you know, that you're, like, going to be exhausted and don't forget to try to feed yourself kind of thing. And the meal train was just outrageously helpful. We couldn't believe how much we relied on that, how much we needed that, we just did not have the brain capacity to think of food. And then when the meal train ran out or we wanted to do something different, so many people had given us DoorDash gift cards so you could just order food. And it's another one that, like, might not sound razzle-dazzly, but I assure you, when your friends are in the shit with these newborns, they don't give a fuck about razzle-dazzle. They might not even know yet that they're not going to give a fuck about razzle-dazzle, but really it is about survival. With a newborn, it is about survival. So I would say stick to those things, right? Feed your friends, go off the registry. Like, this is, at the start of all this, very much nuts and bolts. We are on the ground. We are in the shit. We need to get this done. Let's figure out how to take care of both the baby and the family. And that's all you need to worry about. Then as the kid gets older, like this, you know, last birthday with Ben, that was like, you know, he just turned 2. That was really where, like, you know, we started seeing our friends kind of, not come unglued, but, you know, Kind of Funny pitched in and bought a power wheel. Kind of Funny, or Tim bought him a drum set. You know, people, Ben has preferences, right? So, like, Lucy bought him all these trains that he loves and stuff like that. And people were buying him cars because they know how much he likes cars. Like, he has preferences where it's, like, it's easier to get stuff that'll matter to him rather than, you know, hoisting your own wants and needs on them. Which, again, can be, you know, understandable. Like, don't get me wrong, if our friends have babies, I send them a Ghostbusters book, right? But I also try to go off the registry and do the thing. And then things that didn't, like, I saw, you know, of course, you know, Danny Pena, you know, his lovely wife, Ree, they are expecting a child. Ree had put up, this is months ago, basically good advice, I thought. But it was like, I know everybody says it with the best intentions, but you can stop saying, enjoy sleep while you can get it now, or da-da-da-da-da, like, a lot of people do that whole thing when you're pregnant, or when you're the couple is pregnant, of like only bringing up, oh, you're not going to be able, oh, but you're not going to want to get to play the games you want to play. Oh, you're not going to be able to do, like, nobody needs to hear that shit. Like, and again, it's like, it's very much like internet comments, I think, of they hit different depending on the day and where you're at and how you're feeling and what your emotional capacity is for that day. So they're all said with the best intentions, of course, but I think that gentle ribbing can go a little too far. So I wouldn't do that to your friends when they're pregnant and expecting a child. They'd be like, oh man, nice knowing you. Nobody wants to hear that. Yeah, I'm trying to keep this fucking kid alive when it comes out. I'm not going to Buffalo Wild Wings with you, Mike. Fuck off. And then I want to get one final one in. It was from Ted House, the hip albatross, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, who made my proton pack a long time ago that you saw me rock for years and years and years, but I'm pack on, kind of funny. Ted asked a great question of, has their video game magazine memories. What does that mean to you? What does that speak to you? What is one that stands out? And it's a tired answer, so I'll give you a couple. But the main answer, of course, is GamePro. Cover was Death and Return to Superman. The inside had an ad for Maximum Carnage. By the way, Nick's in the parking lot right now, and he's going to try to scare me, and I'm going to overreact when I do, but I'm not going to actually be scared, right? GamePro, Death and Return of Superman, inside Maximum Carnage. Obviously, I could not wait for Death and Return of Superman, because I was a huge Superman fan, loved that series, obviously, or that run, I should say. And so, when that dropped, read cover to cover, every night for a month, and as I always say, it was at the end of that month where it just dawned on me that adults got paid to write those words. And so I walked into the kitchen, told my mom I found what I wanted to do with my life. This is the fourth grade. She said, what? And I said, I want to write about video games. And she said, okay, we can make that happen. And so she did. And look at me, like, I know. This is the kind of mood you're in today, huh? I warned them on Gregway. Nick's going to come over and try to scare me. He's going to be funny, but you just walk right by me. He don't even care. That's the mood he's in, everybody.
I spilled one coffee.
Oh, no!
I spilled a coffee on myself, and then they gave me the other coffee.
No.
A second coffee.
That's cool that they gave you another one.
They love me. It's the last day at that Starbucks. There was literally...
Please take it.
There was literally someone sleeping at the Starbucks.
Oh, my God. And then, I'm sorry, Ted, Hip Albatross, you made me the Ghostbusters pack. Memories, I'm already in the question. The GamePro one, like I said, you know, I at that point, you know, I'm this old, that, you know, GamePro would say, Death and Return of Superman is coming this summer, and that's all the information they had. So I made a note card that had, like, Walmart and KB Toys and Toys R Us and all the stores' numbers on it. And when I would get done reading the magazine, this is, like, probably starting in May, where I was like, May's close enough to summer. I'm about to get out of school. I would call down that list of numbers every night in the electronics department to ask if they had the game yet. So that stands out. But to remove a tired story and give you less tired stories that are also tired, for sure, a Wizard magazine, where they had just one column. It was like one little snapshot in the corner of one of the pages, or maybe it was just one full column, talking about that Superman 64 had been announced at E3, I think, or at Comic-Con or whatever. And they had one screenshot. And I remember getting to that page and be like, oh, I'm getting an N64. This is it. I have to get an N64 when it comes out for this game. Titus, let's go. And then, of course, EGM, I have a million memories of, but I'll never forget, you know, the first screenshot I saw of Grand Theft Auto 3. And when I did that right, it was, you know, 3D open world, sandbox world, right? Or not 3D, well, not 3D, you know what I mean? But third person, right? Instead of the top-down GTA we had known. And it was just like, you know, Claude, right? Isn't that his name? With the leather jacket and the gun. And it was just like, what? I remember, like, it blew my mind to think that, what? We're going to do this? We're going to have, that's insane. That's impossible, blah, blah, blah. So those would be the big ones, I think. I remember how EGM kept getting bigger every month. There was one South Park one they had, and it was, like, advertised on it, like, 137 games or some stuff. It was fucking awesome. I miss video game magazines, man. And if you're in the UK, I know you have a bunch, because once I tweeted about it, I miss video game magazines, and a bunch of you fuckers from over there got mad at me. And they didn't even know that in America it's dead. In America it's dead, ladies and gentlemen. I digress. That's another Gregway for you. I am working from home tomorrow, so as you know, I usually forget to do a Gregway. I think I heard them talk about maybe doing one, but I'll lean on them to try to get it done. But maybe I'll do a quick one with Benny, where I talk about my Mario impressions, because him and I are going to play that tomorrow while we're at home. So yeah, until next time, it's been my pleasure to serve you.